The mobile police, as they were known locally, carried automatic rifles and wore black shirts emblazoned with a white arm patch that displayed the mobile red Pegasus flying horse symbol first adopted in 1931 as a trademark by mobile predecessor Standard Oil Company of New York. After the upsurge of violence in 2006, ExxonMobil's chaplain reported, militants often strip the mobile police of their weapons, and many officers have taken to removing their uniforms at the slightest hint of militant activity. The corporation's police established layered checkpoints, spaced every kilometer or so on the major roads to and from ExxonMobil properties. ExxonMobil, take ownership, declared the sign at the Quaibo terminal entrance, surrounded by warnings posted by mobile police squadrons. Military zone, no stopping and no waiting. The Nigerian military deployed a mechanized battalion to reinforce security in the state, but most of the Nigerian government's support for the mobile police came from the SSS. ExxonMobil's Global Security Unit in Nigeria appointed liaison officers to joint security task forces to coordinate convoy protection, perimeter security at ExxonMobil installations, and executive protection services. In addition to the mobile police, ExxonMobil hired and supervised an 800-man unarmed unit of the Supernumerary or Spy Police of Akwa Ibom. The scope of their duties is unclear. The spy police carried corporate identity cards even while technically in the employ of their own government. At one stage, the supernumerary unit in Eket sued ExxonMobil for employment benefits. They argued that they were in effect corporate employees, not government police officers. Prior to the merger, Mobil had operated a successful program of community relations in Akwa Ibom, at least as local politicians perceived it. The corporation funded a soccer club, community buildings, water projects, and road building. Nigerian and expatriate Mobil executives curried favor with local political leaders. The corporation acted as a neighbor and a brother, recalled Asim Eyibo, who represented Eket in the Nigerian House of Representatives. After the merger with Exxon, it became a purely commercial drive. The corporation withdrew from a memorandum of understanding that Mobil had negotiated with local leaders and produced a new program, which they wanted the community to accept without making any inputs, said Induese Essien, who negotiated with the corporation after the merger. With Mobil, Victor Atta recalled, political liaison was a lot less mechanical, but with ExxonMobil, it became a lot more rigid. He pleaded with the corporation to build a power plant, but its managers refused, declaring that such projects were not their core area of business. Under ExxonMobil's rules, Nigerian politicians could not ride corporate airplanes unless it was strictly for oil business. Special projects of the sort Mobil had accommodated before the merger were refused. The soccer club and local athletic programs were abandoned, and the corporation issued a new list of local projects it would support. They have been operating on their diktats, said Essien. You have to be willing to say, no, we aren't going to do it that way. We are going to do it this way. If we can't do it this way, we won't be here, Tillerson explained, speaking specifically about ExxonMobil's strategy in the Niger Delta. This is the way my company has operated throughout the world, throughout my entire career. We will walk away if we don't have an acceptable situation on the ground. That doesn't mean it's not tough. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. We manage it. But it can be done in a way that the local community benefits tremendously. And the Akwa Ibom state has benefited enormously. That is why we enjoy good relations. Tillerson's opinions echoed those of Governor Akpabio, who promoted a slogan, Akwa Ibom ad ok, or Akwa Ibom is ok. He sought to protect ExxonMobil. At a gala night to honor John Paul Chaplin, the governor declared, Akwa Ibom cannot be safe for criminals. They will soon know that the state is not safe for kidnappers. Let oil companies and other firms know that the state is safe for them. In fact, Akpabio's supporters were engaged increasingly in a complex war with rival gangs, played out through tit-for-tat kidnappings. Nigerian-born ExxonMobil managers and employees, with their attractive salaries, were not immune. Governor Akpabio has strong cult connections, said a U.S. official who tracked the governor's activities. I'm told that many of the attacks on the roads are being carried out by his militia. Whether because he orders it or because they don't feel they are getting enough money is not clear. As Iyebo put it, we are an inch from insurgency. If the corporation enjoyed a measure of periodic stability in comparison with Shell and Chevron, it was hardly the result of its corporate strategy. It was because most of its oil production was offshore and therefore harder to steal or disrupt. Harder, but not impossible. MEND-branded pirates were a determined lot. In September 2006, President Bush signed National Security Presidential Directive 50, outlining American security strategy in Africa. The directive's stated objectives included building African capacity to govern and deliver social services, consolidating democracies on the continent, and bolstering fragile states. On November 15, 2006, about a month after the Aket kidnapping of ExxonMobil contract workers, Jendayi Fraser, the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, spoke at a maritime security conference in West Africa organized by the United States Navy. The conference was meant to rally regional governments into partnership with the Pentagon to improve maritime security in the Gulf of Guinea, as the Atlantic Ocean waters off of Nigeria were known. Achieving coastal security in the Gulf of Guinea is key to America's trade and investment opportunities in Africa, to our energy security, and to stem transnational threats, Fraser said. She continued, "Let us consider oil. If African governments protected oil commerce, they could prosper, but they required the goodwill of international oil giants. If kidnapping of their workers and attacks on their facilities continue, those companies were unlikely to stay."